Hello again, I'm Jack, a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding victory over my addiction to alcohol.
Hello, Jack.
Hello. Forgotten my name badge too, look at that. Let me see here. Let me get to where I want to be in this, and we got that. Don't need that, but I'll forget it if I put it there, so better put it there. Well, tonight we continue on in our teaching series. For those of you that are new or newer, typical Wednesday evening, dinner, worship, fellowship, and then we either have a teaching like tonight where we take one of our core curriculum lessons from the Celebrate Recovery Step Study and kind of expand on it a little bit, or we have a testimony like we did last week, either video or in person. We've got a pretty good run of in-person testimonies coming up here, so that's always fun to hear what God has done in people's lives, and so hopefully you can make it back number of weeks to hear those, because there's some really good stories in that. So we're in the section if you're first time here, or you're early here, there's an order, there's a logic to these lessons, but when we teach on Wednesday nights, we're able to kind of pull away from what we would call our step study progression of lessons. They do build on one another, and even in the teaching, you'll kind of see that. But please never fear popping into this Celebrate Recovery, any Celebrate Recovery for that matter, on a teaching night. You're going to, if you're there with open ears, if you're there spirit filled, you will get something, you know, from that teaching. It's just kind of what does God have for you in that? And so that's really what I look to do when I teach, is just to kind of see where God is leading me in this lesson, and hopefully, you know, throw something out there, either from my experience, both being in the ministry, or just my personal walk, just to share with you guys tonight. So there is a handout. If you have that, there typically is some fill-ins. However, tonight we don't have an acrostic, so that's kind of fun. But there are some fill-ins, so there is some audience participation if you want to do that. I'll be hopefully drawing your attention to that as we go through the lesson. So a couple weeks ago, Jim taught on the confess lesson. Tonight, the lesson title is admit. And so this is kind of what I was actually talking to Walter about it earlier tonight. What I kind of call the coming clean section in the recovery process. And we kind of get into this real heavily when we start talking about the inventory, fearless and searching moral inventory. And we'll kind of talk or touch on that tonight as well. And then in preparation for the inventory, actually doing the inventory, writing the inventory, we're kind of in that stage right now where we're actually putting our recovery walk into action, where we're doing something in our recovery. And so that's what this lesson is about as well. And this idea of confess and admit, and maybe a first glance, you might think, well, that's the same thing. Why are we hitting it twice? And certainly they're synonyms, but there's a difference, or I want to draw a difference between the two tonight for you. In confess, or I look at confession gets our heart and our mind connected with God. And I think Jim mentioned this a couple weeks ago, talking about when we're confessing, we're agreeing with God. We're matching up with God's thought as it relates to sin. And so that's a heart level, more internal, okay, process that we've got to come to first, I think, if we're going to be successful with the rest of our recovery. I will speak forever, whether it's here, big church, in person, one-on-one, small group, whatever it is, about the heart change that needs to occur in our lives if we're going to truly get this recovery, if we're going to truly get Jesus. He's after the change in our heart. He has taken care of the sins in our past. He's taken care of the fact that he knows that our sin nature is going to probably bring us into sinful situations in the present. He's concerned with where the heart is and doing and seeing that heart change, because that heart change is going to bear fruit. You're going to sin less because you're connected with the heart of God. So confession, I look at, is that really agreeing with God? It's that sin is bad, that sin is evil, that sin needs to be taken care of, killed, all of that. When we get to the, and so I think that has to happen first, because then you go to the admit stage, if you will, or certainly in the admit lesson. And I think it's where we get our hearts and minds connected to each other. in the admit stage. Admit is when we're taking our inventory, for instance, and we're sharing that. Or even just in the small things in daily life, admitting out loud to another human being the exact nature of a wrong. Just getting that idea in your head, in my head, to get in the habit of doing that. And as we do that, when the little things and the big things, and a lot of times when we're addressing our inventory, we're oftentimes talking about a lifetime of hurts and habits and hang-ups that we're dealing with in that. And the goal, of course, is to not have to do that extensive inventory again, because you've eliminated the behaviors, you've eliminated the thoughts, you've eliminated, you know, all of that. We're human. Our sin nature is going to always, as I say, draw us to that, but it's going to be fewer and farther between, hopefully, if you're really walking this walk. And so as we admit that the power of getting that out to somebody else or to one another, and that's a large part about this recovery program. And one of the reasons we have small group built into this evening, it's not just teaching, it's not just worship, but we get to get into those smaller groups and admit. And I challenge you. Well, let me just back up a little bit. Confess. Take a moment right now and just rack your brain. Do a quick inventory, if you will. Is there something? Is there a sin that you haven't confessed to God? Maybe it happened today. Is there something that you need to confess? And you're looking for that time, or you know when? Well, there, here you go. Right now, we've got the time. Be thinking about your day, about your week. Be thinking about the interactions you've been. Is there a sin that you need to take to God? So do that. As we move to admit, take opportunity tonight to, now whether you admit that sin, that may be not appropriate tonight, you may not be ready for that, that may be something you need to talk that over with your sponsor, depending on the nature. But is there something that you can admit, maybe a character defect, character flaw, habit, a hurt, a hang-up, that you need to admit, or you should admit to your group tonight, your small group? And I challenge you to do that. If you're looking for, I don't know what the focus question is, I haven't read that. But think about that, just to get in the practice of doing that in a safe environment. And those small groups should be safe for you, and I know mine is. So just kind of think about putting this into practice. So admitting gets us connected to one another, to our humanity, to our sin nature. And ultimately, that's going to lead us to our need for a Savior. So it's a good thing. So principle and step that undergird or kind of highlight this particular teaching. Principle 4 is our guiding principle tonight. It says, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. We're going to, once again, confess and admit. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. And then our step tonight is we admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. James 5:16 says, therefore confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So both of those, the step and the principle, kind of touching on both the confess part, God, and the admit part, each other. Okay? And so we'll kind of come back to that a little bit. So in what kind of a sick world would you have to live in to think that it's actually a good idea to first take an inventory, so to first just go through that exercise of writing down all that junk, putting that on paper or on your computer if you're electronic-minded, that's not what most people do. That's crazy. And then to go a step beyond that, to actually share that with somebody else. What kind of sick world would you have to live in for that to be something that you would find appealing? Or that you would even be willing to do? And the answer, of course, to that question is in the question itself. We do live in a sick world. We do live in a broken world. And I think an inventory, conducting an inventory, sharing an inventory is something that every human being should do. I think because, at least in my humble opinion, every human being is broken. When we're living in that sick and broken world, and the way to overcome or to start working on that sickness is in that process. And so that's why. It's precisely because we live in a sick and broken world, and therefore we're kind of prone to this infection you know, by this sickness and this brokenness, that we need to conduct a searching and a fearless moral inventory in order to gain first an understanding and then eventually an acceptance of our condition. Understanding and then acceptance. And we talk about that, you know, every week when we close with the serenity prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept. Accept hardship as a pathway to peace later on in the serenity prayer. Accepting, once again, the heart level. So we need to be able to understand it first and then eventually accept that condition that we're in. And the condition we're in is, I think, highlighted in Mark 2, verse 17, where Jesus says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." See, as we get in touch, understand and accept that condition that we're in, that sick condition, that's where we are then led to that necessity for a Savior. It takes us to Jesus. And so if we're, that's another reason I think that everybody should be doing an inventory, looking at their lives, because if they're honest, they're going to find that they do need Jesus. I want to make sure that just because we go to church or just because we come to a Christ-centered recovery group, are you in touch with that need for Jesus? And fortunately, the way I live my life, it's like every 5 minutes, that need for Jesus comes into my life because I'm screwing up something. You know, as I say in my inventory, I may not have had a drink in around 10 years, but I had my last sinful, lustful, judgmental thought about 8 seconds ago as I'm multitasking up here, you see. Okay? And so I need that. I'm very glad that Jesus came for the sick me. So as we get into the handout and the lesson, and we look at kind of this idea of admitting, one of the other things that we see as we admit is we begin to lose some things, and we want to lose these things because they're the things that have kind of kept us sick and kept us broken or have kind of perpetuated this. And so on your handout, we're just going to kind of go through three or four of these things that we lose. And one of the things that we lose our sense of isolation. And so I think you've got that as your first one, lose our sense of isolation. That kind of happens naturally when you are having to share admit your inventory, a character defect, a character flaw to another human being. Just by nature, that's done in not in isolation, let's put it that way, okay? And so we want isolation is where the enemy wants us. In our own head is where the enemy wants us. And so as we admit, just by the very nature of going through that exercise, we've taken ourselves at least to one other person. And once again, when you go into small group, things that you decide to share there is in a larger group. If you get involved in a step study, you're sharing to a larger group. And then, of course, you've got some things that you're only going to share with your sponsor. You know, and so it's multi-layered. But all of that is not done in a vacuum. It is done with another or with others. Another thing we lose as we admit is we begin to lose the unwillingness to forgive. This is huge. When people accept and forgive us, we start to realize that we can do the same. When you get your mind around, and we'll teach the forgiveness lesson here coming up in not too many teachings, and we talk about that forgiveness of others, that forgiveness of self, and accepting God's forgiveness, all those components that go into that. So when you lose that unwillingness to forgive others, that allows you to begin to start forgiving others. It allows you to accept God's forgiveness and forgive yourself. We lose, third one down on your listing there, we lose our inflated sense of pride or false pride. Admitting is a pride killer. And I don't know how many times I've caught myself trying to avoid a situation that was going to damage my pride. But that's exactly where it should be, just the opposite. I should be running into those situations because I've got so much pride. I've got this abundance of it. I'm overflowing with the pride thing. Anything that kills it, snips it, prunes it, whatever it, is good for me. And yet I will still try to run away from that. Pride just gets in the way of so much. But it's a humbling experience to have to admit. And that's why I say, even if it's a small thing, and I struggle with that. Either one of my daughters were up here right now, they would probably say one of the biggest things that we have a gripe against Dad is he never says, "I'm sorry," which is not true, because never isn't like never. But it is something that I do need to work on. Okay, I'm always right, and so that is a problem, you see, I think, with the sorry thing. But other than that, oh, there's the pride thing again. See how we do that? It works. But they would tell you that, and that's an important thing to them, and that's a pride. It's just pride. Pride in my position in the household, pride in my knowledge, pride in any number of things. And so admitting is one of the quickest ways, the most direct ways, one of the most visceral ways to get yourself in check and get yourself in reality. And that's why we talk about confession, because the first thing is you need to have a clear understanding of where you sit in the food chain with God. If your pride is still then off the charts, then admitting to other folks is going to help battle that. And I think that's one of the greatest sins is pride. And so we will lose that, or lose the tendency or the desire. I used to defend my pride. I used to think it was a good character trait. And while I still struggle with it, my mind, my heart is not. I'm not proud of my pride. Okay, I'm not. Thinking it, I should defend my prideful behavior because it gets in the way of so much. We're going to lose our sense of denial. Get real, you know. And those of you that have done an inventory, those of you that have admitted even the smallest thing when you've been wrong, let's say. And that sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes it takes a while. It doesn't come promptly, you know, as soon as it should, as we talk about in the steps. But when I do, I'm out of denial. I'm in full realization that I've messed up, that I'm wrong, and so we lose that as well. So as we lose these things that I just talked about, so we gain an understanding, acceptance of our condition. We start to lose, you know, those type of things: isolation, unwillingness to forgive, false pride, sense of denial. So as we lose our false pride and our denial, we begin to gain, and this is also on the healing, some things that we gain. We gain as we get out of that false pride mode and get out of that denial, the healing that is promised in the Bible. I think I've got one here. James 5:16. We read it earlier. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And it's important to know, John Baker writes here, that the word here is healed. The verse does not say confess your sins to one another so that you will be forgiven. God's done that if you're a believer. God's taken care of that part. It's about the healing process when we confess, admit our sins to each other. Okay, so when we gain that sense of healing. And once again, those of you that have given your inventory to somebody, those of you that have been able to admit to, as they say, swallow your pride, admit that you were wrong, the relationships that maybe are a relationship that was maybe stressed is healed, is repaired, or is in the process of repairing. Okay? Doesn't happen just overnight sometimes. Sometimes there's a lot of hurt that has occurred. But take advantage of that. As we lose our unwillingness to forgive ourselves and others, we gain freedom. I think that's one of the things that on your handout as well. We gain freedom. Freedom from shame and inadequacy. Freedom from resentment and thoughts of revenge. So that unwillingness to forgive chains us. I think I've got a psalm here. Yeah, Psalm 107:13-14. It says, they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he rescued them. He led them from the darkness and the shadow of death and snapped their chains. And that's that visual that I want you to kind of take away tonight, is that idea of forgiving someone, snapping the chains on you. And I struggle with this. I've really not had to forgive many people in my life, because I've had a pretty easy life. I've not a lot of hurt done to me. I was the one inflicting my addiction and my behavior and my bad choices on others. But since I've gotten sober, there have been some things in my life where there have been people that my first thought was, I don't want to forgive that. I can't forgive that. That's unforgivable, you know. And that's just eating me up. That's just chaining me. And I've been able to forgive them. Now, usually I have to re-forgive, because I like forgive and then things are good. The chains are gone. And then somewhere I'm walking down the street and then I'm picking up the chains and I'm putting them on again. And I got to do it all over again. So I'm working on that to really get rid of the chains. But, you know, really think of that visual as you begin to forgive. Because those resentments, that revenge, if you've got that in your heart, that will eat at you. And that's not a healthy thing. And that's gonna keep you in that state of sickness. We're about the healing part. And finally, the most important, or I should say most pertinent to the recovery step and principle that we're kind of focusing in on tonight, is when we lose our isolation, we gain support. We gain support. So when we talk about just a quick, you know, review of the step and the principle, when we openly examine and confess our faults to ourselves, to God, and to someone I trust, okay, that's some piece in there, okay, that isolation can't be done in isolation. We lose, or we gain that freedom. I'm sorry, that support. And that's crucial. See, when we share all of that stuff that kept us sick, when we share that with another person, we get support, not condemnation. We get accountability and encouragement, not judgment. And this lesson is a perfect place to just review or reiterate something we talked about a while ago in the sponsor lesson, and that is that the importance of accountability partners and the importance of getting a sponsor. If you haven't done that yet, and so if you're brand new in here tonight, getting a sponsor is something that should take a little bit of time. You want to get to know people. This is a relationship where you're looking for someone that is giving you coaching. They've kind of struggled with whatever you've struggled with. They're farther down the path, as we say, and they're able to coach you, direct you, okay? So those are folks. In fact, let me do this. For those of you that are able to be a sponsor, so those of you that have completed a step study and sponsor or leadership training, would you stand up, please, just real quick here? So if you look around, so anybody that's new here, these folks are folks that potentially would consider being a sponsor for you. Thank you very much. It starts with you getting to know them. It starts with you asking. It may end with them saying, I can't right now. I don't have the bandwidth. I'll pray on it. Typically is a pretty common response. But these are folks that can help be that coach if it works out for the both of you. It's a mutual relationship, but it's not a marriage. You're not locked in for life. As we always say, you can fire them. They can fire you. Okay? But just realize that it's important. Because we want to get that support, and your sponsor is going to be, in a truth with love sense, your biggest supporter, your biggest cheerleader. Okay, they're also going to hold you to account. And speaking of that, accountability partners. Now, accountability partners. There's no training. There's no leadership. You don't have to complete a step study. It's somebody that you just connect with. And that's one of the great things about small groups, because you get to hear other people kind of share. And that's just someone that says, yeah, I can relate to that. And so ask them to be an accountability partner. So once again, the same idea as support. And we talk about that in our small group guidelines. Support one another, not fix. Okay, so the isolation piece is not to get fixed. It's to get support from your sponsor, get support from your accountability partners. So take the opportunity to whether it's today, tonight, sometime, and really kind of mull over the last two lessons of confess and admit. And wherever you are, if you're brand new, start by opening up a little bit. Share in small group. Be honest. This is a group of people that you can be transparent with. And they're not going to laugh at you. They're not going to point at you. They're not going to run away in horror. They're going to say, you know, welcome. Been there, done that. That's it? That's all you got? Whatever. There's something like that, okay? You're home here, all right? So share, open up, okay? For those of you that are a little farther in your recovery walk, get into a step study if you haven't. Get in and do the work. Start forming that inventory so that you can share that with another human being. And then those of you that have been here for a while, done a few inventories, a few step studies, continue down that path. Continue to hone. Continue to offer yourself out to others for sponsorship, for accountability partners. Sometimes, you know, I said, you know, you approach someone and ask them to be your sponsor. Don't be afraid if somebody comes up and says, do you have a sponsor? Because I think you need one. Okay? And engage that conversation that way. So take some heavy thought on that confess and accountability, or I'm sorry, and admit as you go through the week, but as we also go into small group. All right, let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being the ultimate sponsor, being the ultimate accountability partner. Thank you for sending your son Jesus so that, honestly, Lord, we never are in true isolation if we have a relationship with you. But as my sponsor is fond of saying, Lord, we do need and we were made to be in community with people that have some skin on them. So while we are never alone with you, we just need someone to talk to that we can look at face to face, that can respond. I ask that for anybody out there that has not engaged in an accountability relationship, that you just give them the courage to do so. Give them the courage to take that risk and ask somebody or to share something a little bit deeper that somebody else maybe can connect to tonight. For those that are have been around a little bit and just haven't kind of clicked with a sponsor yet, that they just continue to pursue that relationship. And that if they haven't, you know, moved into a step study, that you make that possible in their schedule. That is something that they can take part in sometime soon. Lord, we love you, and we are just so grateful for your presence here tonight, and for your spirit in all of us. I pray that you just continue to place these things of importance on our heart as we go through this walk with you. Love you. Amen.